This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Dalbank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
Today we're with Dr. Clive Tadhunter from the University of Sheffield. Hello, Dr. Tadhunter.
Hello.
So you're interested in studying active galactic nuclei, or AGNs, and specifically what triggers them. Could you first of all explain to our listeners what an AGN is?
Yeah, an AGN is a galaxy which has an unusually bright nucleus. So the brightness of the nucleus can be similar to all the stars, all the hundreds of billions of stars in the galaxy, or it can be up to 100 times the light of all the hundreds of billions of stars in the galaxy. So quasars are the ones that are really bright, and that's the ones we're most interested in.
Okay. Am I right in saying that most AGNs have a distinctive feature, which is two jets that sort of get ejected at very high speeds?
Yeah, most of them have these jets that get ejected at very high speeds, and they emit lots of radiation at all wavelengths.
Right, so they're very bright from
yeah,
everything.
They're very bright. Yeah, all in X-rays, infrared, optical, radio. Yeah.
Okay, and so despite the fact that they are some of the brightest objects in the universe, we don't actually know that much about them, about why they're triggered, how they form. So that's what you sort of study.
Yes.
What are the main theories at the moment for how these things get going, as it were?
Yeah, the idea is that there's a supermassive black hole in the center of the galaxy that has a quasar, and that has a mass between about 1 million and 10 billion times the mass of the sun, so very massive. But the thing about a black hole is that nothing can escape from it, not even light itself. That's why we say it's black.
Of course.
So you may wonder how black holes can generate all that energy and all that light that we can see. Well, the trick is that the gas gets accreted by the black hole, and as it's accreted by the black hole, before it falls into the black hole, it emits lots of light. So the gravitational energy that the gas has gets converted into heat and light.
Right.
And that process is extremely efficient, so it's about 10 times more efficient than the fusion that powers stars. And that's why these nuclei can be so bright.
I see. So we've got this really heavy black hole at the centre, and we've got all this gas that's falling into it. Those conditions wouldn't necessarily cause a huge amount of energy to be released. If you lead on to sort of why, well, you can have galaxies which don't necessarily have very bright AGNs, but most of them will come from two galaxies having merged, and which produces a lot of extra energy.
Yeah, the problem is how you get the gas down close to the black hole so it can release its energy as it falls in. And the problem is that if you take the Earth as being the size of the galaxy, the black hole will be tiny.
Yeah.
It would be the size of a grape.
Right.
So you've got to funnel that gas down into a very small scale in the centre of the galaxy.
Okay.
And the trouble is that most of the gas in a galaxy is rotating around the centre on stable orbits. So we believe, for example, that our Milky Way has a black hole in its centre of about 4 million solar masses. But it's not a quasar, it's not an active galaxy. And that's because the gas is just rotating around the center. And just like the Earth goes around the sun or the moon goes around the Earth, it will carry on doing that forever and until something knocks it off its course. So in order to get stuff really close to the center, you need to have some event to drive the gas in.
Right.
And that's the trick. So that's how you trigger AGN, and that's what we're studying, how that happens.
Okay. So could you run us through what the main theories are for
one idea is that you just have what we call bars in the centers of galaxies. And these are gravitational disturbances.
Okay.
And they cause the gas to fall into the center of the galaxy on radial orbits.
Right.
And go into the center. So instead of rotating round in a normal way, it actually gets driven in.
Yep.
Another way is that we know that there are little dwarf satellite galaxies around the Milky Way. And if they fall into the center, that could give you some gas in the center, some accretion,
yep,
which could give you some activity. The trouble is we don't think those mechanisms will give you enough gas falling into the center to get really bright quasars.
Okay.
Because you need to drive a lot of gas in to get a bright object.
Sure.
And those sort of typical mechanisms wouldn't work. So we think there must be some really major event that drives the gas in. And the most popular theory is that that event is a major galaxy merger.
Okay, so that's when two galaxies start getting a bit too close to each other, and then they sort of start interacting with each other.
Yeah.
So what are the various stages of a galaxy merger, and how do you tell that two galaxies are in the process of merging or have merged even?
Well, you start off with two spiral galaxies like the Milky Way, okay. And they're separate on the sky, and they're not at all distorted. They're rotating happily. The gas in them is stable in stable orbits. But as they get closer together, the galaxies raise tides on each other.
Yep.
And when they get really close together, those tides get very strong, and that causes the gas to flow into the center of the galaxies close to the black holes that are there.
Okay.
And can trigger activity. This is not just a theoretical thing. We know it happens. We see mergers happening even nearby in the universe. And we think that's also what's going to happen to our own Milky Way galaxy. Because if we look at the nearest big spiral, M31 in Andromeda, mm-hmm. It turns out it's coming towards us at 300 kilometers a second.
Right, yeah.
And it's going to hit us in a giga year or two.
Yep.
And that will drive gas towards the center of our galaxy and perhaps trigger one of these very luminous quasar events.
Okay, but the merger process is sort of extended in time. So at what point do the emissions start happening?
Well, this is a controversial area because you get gas flowing into the center across quite a long time scale in the merger. Mm-hmm. But we expect the fastest gas flows, the most massive gas flows, to occur when the nuclei of the galaxies merge together. And in fact, the two black holes in the separate galaxies merge together. We expect the maximum accretion to be around then.
I see. But AGNs, as a process, have a lifetime. So what sort of happens eventually? The energy output doesn't last forever, and then what happens next?
Yeah, well, eventually, even if the gas is driven into the center, the gas will be used up. So some of it will be accreted by the black hole, and that will cause a quasar. But some of it will also be used up in star formation. And then the other thing is that the quasar itself can actually affect the evolution, because quasars are extremely powerful objects, and the jets you were talking about at the start can drive the gas out. And if that happens, if the quasar gets that powerful, it can drive the gas out, that will stop star formation, and it will stop further accretion, and it will swish off the quasar.
Okay, and then what happens then? Does it just get less energetic? Do we have different kinds of AGN? Well, there are different kinds of AGN.
Yeah, so you basically drive all the gas out, and that stops the quasar, because to get a quasar, you need lots of accretion, and you've driven all that gas out. Stops a lot of the star formation in the galaxy as well. But it's possible that some of the gas will fall back in and settle into a disk around the center. But because that disk is stable, the rate of inflow is much less, and that will give you a lower luminosity AGN.
Okay.
We call those AGN Seyfert galaxies, and they're seen in quite a few nearby galaxies.
Right. And at this point, once the merger is done, the host galaxy looks like an ellipse. It's an elliptical galaxy. It's not spiral anymore in shape, is it?
That's right. So basically this merger of two spiral galaxies, in most cases, most scenarios for the merger, will lead to the formation of elliptical galaxy, because the gas gets used up in star formation. The circular orbits of the gas in the disk is disrupted, and you end up with something that's more or less spherical or elliptical in shape, and you don't have a gas disk there.
But concretely, the way you study these, and you're looking at samples of elliptical galaxies, and you're looking for like telltale traces of what happened during this merger process and this gas inflow process. So could you describe what, as an astronomer, you're looking for in these galaxies to sort of pick out these trigger events?
Yeah, so mergers have very clear signs in terms of the structures of the galaxies. So if you merge two galaxies together, okay, you eventually form an elliptical galaxy, but it also creates a big mess of features. So you see tail, we call them tidal tail features,
okay,
that like tails that stick out of the center of the galaxy. We see shell features, and we see all sorts of features like that that you wouldn't expect to see in an undisturbed galaxy. So if we see those features, it's a clear sign that a merge has happened. So the focus of what we do is that we look at objects that are like quasars, and we think they have quasars in them, and we look at whether there's evidence for these features in the galaxy around them. Because if we see those features, that's a strong sign that the quasars being triggered in a merger.
I see.
The other clear sign of a merger, especially if it's been a merger of two spiral galaxies and lots of gas and dust, is that you'll get lots of star formation. So gas will get driven towards the nucleus, it will fuel the black hole, but also because the gas density is high, it will lead to the formation of a burst of star formation. So the other thing we look for is whether we see this burst of star formation in the galaxies.
Is that necessarily correlated to the triggering of a quasar?
Yeah, well, it depends on the type of merger. So if it's a major merger of two spiral galaxies, gas-rich, then we would expect to see this peak of star formation. If it's a smaller merger, so it's just a small galaxy falling into a ready formed elliptical, then we wouldn't expect to see so much star formation.
Okay.
And actually, what we're finding is the latter, that although we believe that the quasars are triggered in mergers, they're not major gas-rich ones. It's smaller, more minor mergers that are triggering the activity.
So there's a bit of a sweet spot where they have to be kind of the right, there has to be the right amount of gas and the right amount.
Yeah, you need a certain amount of gas.
Yeah.
But you can get that, for example, by accreting one of the Magellanic Clouds, for example, one of these smaller satellite galaxies. Accreting one of those onto an elliptical, onto the centre, would be enough to fuel the quasar activity.
Once you've reached a certain threshold, does that automatically mean that an AGN will be triggered?
No, because it depends on how the gas is moving. So we know that the mergers can deliver the gas quite close to the black hole, but we've really got to get down to the small scales.
Okay.
And it's controversial how that happens. However you get the gas close to the centre, whether you can, you know, how you get it down that last stretch really close to the black hole. And if the gas just forms a disk, like the disk of our galaxy, it will just rotate around the black hole and it won't fall in. So it's not inevitable that if you get a lot of gas there in a merger, it's necessarily going to fall in.
Okay.
And there's a lot of uncertainty about that. The theorists are trying to model that, but there's no real consensus about how the gas gets down the last stretch close to the black hole.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, have we predicted what will happen to the Milky Way and Andromeda when they merge? Do you think that'll turn into a quasar or lower-level AGN, or will nothing happen specifically?
I think that probably if you have a major merger, then a quasar will be triggered at some stage in the major merger.
Okay.
It's not on all the time. It's probably close to when the nuclei coalesce and the black holes merge together. Sometime around there, you'll get a quasar, but not all the time.
Okay.
And I think it's highly likely that when Andromeda merges with the Milky Way, that we will have a quasar at some stage. I think that's probably our likely future.
Nice.
But that's 5 billion years away, so we don't have to worry too much about
it. Yeah, these things happen on pretty mind-boggling timescales.
Yeah.
It's a sort of 10 to the 8, 10 to the 9 years being bandied about, but it's pretty mind-blowing to think. These objects, I love quasars and AGNs because they're really the most powerful and things in the almost in the universe, and they just work on these incomprehensible scales almost. Thanks a lot. That was extremely interesting, and I hope to see you sometime soon.
Well, thank you. That's a pleasure.